Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Smashy Business Show. Today is Friday, the end of the week. It's the 30th of August 2024. My name is Hind Al-Dah, and I am here with my co-host, Abdul Majid Awan. How are you, Abdul Majid?
I'm good. Again, Friday is always good because it's the weekend.
Any weekend
and you
plans?
You can rest for 2 days.
Any weekend plans?
Yeah, my parents are coming, so yeah. A lot of plans.
Fun. Okay. Yeah. So for our main stories, we have Talabat to go public, UAE ranks third in crypto adoption, and Saudi esports sector to boost GDP. Now, for our chit-chat, or the small stories segment that we do before, thankfully, we don't have to talk about Pavel Durov anymore. We've already updated our audience in the past few shows, as well as on our other social media sites. So if you would like to maybe keep up to date, maybe you can check that out.
Just to summarize, he was arrested in France. So he's on a country arrest. He can't leave France. He has to report.
He's stuck in France.
Yeah, he's stuck in France. And it's a good country to be stuck in, but he can't leave the country. He has to report to a police station twice a week. And most importantly, he posted a 5 million euro bail. Any updates that come, we'll obviously update it on social media. Do log in. Yeah. Do subscribe
but
to our newsletter.
That's it on the show. That's it. Let's move on to other chit-chat. So Binance is accused of seizing Palestinian funds at IDF's request.
Yeah, that's something that happened like 1.5 days ago. There's this one entrepreneur. He's the owner of a crypto platform,
Which
is
Tang.
Yes. It's based out of this region. No, the other one, the guy who broke the story.
Oh,
he's an Arab guy. He broke
my
the story.
Apologies.
Yeah, on social media, he went on X and said that this is happening. So he shared a paper which was written in the Israeli language, and then he said, "Oh, this is happening." Blah blah blah.
So basically, there the IDF asked.
According to him, it was IDF who asked him to asked Binance to seize the Palestinian accounts. However, Binance CEO Richard Tang, he came. He clarified on social media. X everywhere. He said that it's an FUD, it's a fear, uncertainty, and danger, which
doubt.
Is being doubt, danger. Yeah, it's been created only to make Binance hurt Binance.
Even after that, people were still
Yeah, a lot of people who actually got their accounts suspended, because Binance said that a few accounts were suspended because of illegal trading or some money laundering issues. But they didn't specify how many accounts or any other details. They just said, yeah, we did a few.
They didn't specify the
names. They didn't specify the names, the numbers, anything. And a lot of people whose accounts were suspended came on social media. There's a hashtag going on,
Boycott Binance.
So yeah, they have finally joined the list of boycotts. A lot of big brands, KFC, Starbucks, McDonald's, you name it, and they are on the boycott list, and now Binance has joined there. So there's a lot of protest going on social media for this. We'll keep you updating if we get some big, any other comment from Richard Tang or Binance. But right now, their statement, their official statement, their official stance is, we did it, but only a few accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hope, let's see what happens next.
Another short stories. We have the American businessman Grant Cardone to return to the UAE, but in Sharjah, and he will participate in the Sharjah Investment Forum. Now, big news for those in Sharjah, because it means that the whole forum is all about featuring the latest developments in finance and banking, environment and renewable energy, skills in the digital era, and future technologies which are shaping the investment world. So it's very good news for Sharjah to have an American businessman like Richard. So
Grant Cardone Grant is very famous for a few things. He's like one of the Tony Robbins of the world. His 10x philosophy, that whatever you're doing, just scale it up to 10x. The energy that you put into it, or even if you have a $6 million business, why not take it to 60 million or 600 million? So that's his philosophy that he follows, and he has built a lot of products around it. There is a 10x conference. He's written 8 to 10 books on this topic. He's written books on real estate. He's a real estate investor as well. So he also gives suggestions or consults on real estate transactions. He has nearly $4 billion assets under his management. So he's an equity manager as well. So this guy is doing everything and he's coming back. I remember him because of the fact that when he came to Dubai, the last time he came to the UAE, he came to Dubai for a conference and he said that Dubai is the only city in the world that has actually figured out what 10x is. Mm-hmm. They do everything on a big scale. They don't stop at a small thing and be like, okay, this is done, so we're fine with it.
They're always advancing to the next level.
They're always going 10x on everything, and we've seen that Burj Khalifa, the future of the Museum of the Future. Anything you touch in Dubai, anything you see in Dubai is 10x. Mm-hmm. So he's coming to Sharjah at the Sharjah Investment Forum. Sharjah Investment Forum is by Sharjah FDI Authority in Sharjah. They're trying to attract foreign direct investment through this event. It's good. There's a lot of these FDI events in Dubai, Abu Dhabi as well. There's annual investment meeting that happens in Abu Dhabi. Dubai also has a few events which do this. So all the state ministers of the state ministers of foreign trade and all these people, the important people who are related to business, they all come to there. The Sharjah Investment Forum list, we're going to publish the list of speakers. They published a list today. I just saw it in the morning. Again, a lot of things I see in the morning in the email. So they published a list of people. A lot of important people are coming. So if you're in Sharjah or even in Dubai, go there.
Yeah, so it will be from September 18 to 19.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in investments or are just finding yourself in Sharjah at that day, or during those 2 days, maybe check out the investment
maybe just
forum.
To get knowledge, go there and listen to these big people talking about big numbers. And the mainly, I would go there to find out the industries that are big in UAE where foreign direct investment is coming. If I'm a businessman, if I have money, I would love to listen to that and maybe invest my money into those industries as well.
Now, for our last short story, we have tourists from the Gulf region are shaping Hong Kong's tourism industry. And spending an average of $1,450 per day in Hong Kong. And Hong Kong is known to be a very expensive place. So these are...
mainly you know, the tourists are from Saudi and UAE.
So they're spending on luxury items mainly, which is why this number is very high.
$1,450, that's like 5,000 dirhams per day.
Yikes.
So the, maybe this number includes living, like hoteling, eating, and then
but it's all luxury.
Yeah.
Thanks. And Hong Kong has launched a new campaign to attract more Gulf visitors to promote its opulent hotels, Michelin-starred restaurants, and you know it has a very scenic landscape. It has the South China Sea. So there's that as well. So it makes for a very good vacation spot, I guess, for Gulf tourists. So
And I remember Henry Wong, the director of trade development at the Hong Kong Tourism Board. He said that they're planning some event in the coming months, September or October maybe, where they will present a good picture of Hong Kong to attract more visitors. So that's a nice step by a country. And I'd always thought that people came here to visit, but people are attracting people from this region, from the Gulf region, to come to their countries as well. Shows how strong they are, how good the buying power of the people in this region is.
So shall we move on to our main stories?
Biggest story.
So Talabat will go public in the fourth quarter of this year. So Delivery Hero, which is a Berlin-based food ordering and food delivery company, is planning an IPO for its UAE-based subsidiary, which is Talabat, on the Dubai financial market. And the Delivery Hero will sell its existing shares, but will still have the majority of stake in Talabat. And Talabat, if you don't know, I'm sure you do, it operates in several Middle Eastern countries, including the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Egypt. And also, it's shown a very strong growth this year with a 31% sales jump in the second quarter of this year.
And I agree that IPO, if there is a Talabat IPO, it's being reported that it will be the first $10 billion tech company IPO in the region. So it's a very big news. There were recent reports about Noon going into profits as well, because for the last 2-3 years they've been suffering losses. So that report, if it was not that true, it was reported. It wasn't coming reportedly through any official sources. Yeah. But a lot of experts are saying that Noon will eventually turn profit. Mm-hmm. So that turning profit, Talabat getting the IPO, all these things show that the delivery e-commerce business is booming. Mm-hmm. People don't want to go to the supermarket.
Yeah, and we talked about this before, even with Carrefour's...
Majid al-Futaim.
Majid al-Futaim's digital retail sector growing, because people are just buying online. It's convenient, you know, on your phone. It's very easy to just click a few...
And
you
know, COVID, I guess,
a few times, and you just buy whatever.
COVID gave this the biggest boost in the history of humankind, I guess. Mm-hmm. Because before that, delivery services, people were, I guess, they were dubious about it. That if I order onions, maybe they won't choose the perfect onions that you go to a grocery store and choose.
Yeah, and some, like my father, used to be against it because he's like, "Well, how do you know it's authentic? How do you know the quality that will arrive will be the same as what you're seeing and stuff like that?" But even nowadays, he's buying online because it's just been, it's a widespread thing. Everybody's doing it, so you know, there's no going around it.
People, I guess, are physical spaces, again, the MAF Majid al-Futaim report that we saw, that the retail in physical spaces went a little down. The revenue went nearly 6% down, but the retail digital part, the vertical, online vertical, was going up, especially Carrefour, which is the main biggest online vertical for them. So it shows that there is confidence in this industry. And if Talabat goes public, I don't think their share prices will be affordable. Mm-hmm. They'll be really high. Just the evaluation and all the steps that you take before going into an IPO, those are remaining. So Talabat will go to the UAE Security Commodity Authority, and they will they will also see the market conditions. What if they do bad business in Q3 2024?
Mm-hmm. Which I doubt, to be honest. I'm not an expert, but
because
you know,
a lot of people will move into this region for tourism and a lot of things.
Yes,
they usually
we saw a report a few days ago about during the winter time, tourists will be coming in, like more number of tourists will be coming in during the winter season.
Yeah. So Emirates Airline, their projection for the next half is big, that we'll receive more people. Etihad Airlines, their projection for the next half of this year is big, that a lot of more people will come in. They already did record flights and they hosted record visitors. But in the second half, again, peak season for tourism, everything will go up. So most probably their third quarter report will show profit.
Yes.
So when they go into IPO in the fourth quarter, it's planned for Q4 2024. And maybe sometimes it happens, some delays can happen. So most probably, worst case scenario, Q1 2025, they will go into IPO. Mm-hmm. The plan is for Q4 2024. So let's see, go buy the Talabat shares if you have money. It will be a very good investment. Talabat is not a small brand. It's a big brand covered by a very big brand, Delivery Hero. They actually acquired it in 2015, and it's a 2004 startup. Mm-hmm. So it started in 2004 and in Kuwait, and then eventually Delivery Hero bought it. Obviously, they saw something. It's not like you just buy a company because you think it's cool. Mm-hmm. You buy a company because you see profits. So
you see potential. Hopefully.
Yes.
Yes. Moving on to our next story. UAE ranks third globally in crypto adoption, a new digital finance frontier. Now, we've talked about crypto in the UAE in the past few shows. So now it is the third highest country in the world for cryptocurrency adoption, surpassing the US, the UK, and Australia, according to Henley & Partners. Now, a large percentage of the residents in the UAE do use, or they own digital currencies. And this is because of a strong government support, also very good regulations in the country. And I was just looking up the list of all the retail that have it, even day-to-day market, which is
economic
dollar store of the UAE. Yeah, and so they accept crypto, and so do a lot of
There's Majid al-Futaim's, we saw MOU that they signed with Binance 2022. Mm-hmm. So then CEO, not Richard Teng, the then CEO said that you can use crypto to pay at Majid al-Futaim stores, 29 stores and 15 outlets. Mm-hmm. So yeah, a lot of people are accepting crypto here. Mm-hmm. Depends on the mind of the people who are there accepting crypto. People have crypto.
Yes.
We've seen through this report, the numbers speak. for themselves that people have digital currencies. To be honest, I've seen it firsthand. When you travel in metro, there's like less space between you and people. Usually, I used to see people had something open. So I never used Binance before coming to UAE.
So you're peeking into others' phones.
Yeah, it's just like you're looking here and there. And you see a glass and you see a lot of charts and everything.
Right,
and you're like, what are they doing? Because usually people are playing some game on their phone on the metro. So I saw a lot of people and I got curious. And then I realized it's eToro, it's Binance. They're very big in this region, a lot of people. And it starts with $10. You just invest, put $10 in the wallet and you start trading. So it's very easy. It's very simple. You just have to like take 1 or 2 days to understand the GUI, the graphical user interface. But after that, you can start trading in crypto in a jiffy. Just put some money from your bank. $10 is like 50, 35, 40 dirhams.
Yeah, around that.
So yeah, just put it that in and you can start. So that means there is some regulation. There is something good happening. And as Hind said, regulations, yeah, and government support.
Now it's ranking in third because of all the recent advancements. So more recently, the Dubai has recently allowed salary payments in crypto. And also, we also talked about this on the show in a different story, the UAE dirham-pegged stablecoin is set to launch next year.
Yeah.
And the stablecoin is a Tether. It's by Tether.
Yeah, it's
is that
by
correct?
Tether.
So most probably it'll be called UAET.
UAEDT.
Yeah, or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, all of these advancements and for good reason.
And
I mean,
to be honest, the stablecoin will change the market because a lot of people right now are investing in Ethereum, Bitcoin, USDT. Mm-hmm. There's a long list of coins which are like favorites for the region. But if the stablecoin is launched, it will be equal to your currency, like your bank account currency, because it will be a stablecoin. So each unit of that cryptocurrency will be equal to one dirham.
Mm-hmm.
So that will actually change the market for good. And people will now start using their Binance wallet or some crypto wallet and start paying. And the retail stores, the hotels, the restaurants, they will also get on the adoption scale and they'll be like, okay, let's start accepting it.
Yeah.
It's the same as dirham.
Already some are accepting. So I'm pretty sure in the future, more and more will start to have an open mind towards crypto and payments and stuff.
Yeah.
So moving on to our second story.
It's okay.
So, Saudi esports sector to boost GDP by $13.3 billion by 2030. Now, Saudi Arabia's esports sector is a big thing. Esports is huge in Saudi Arabia. And I was reading a report done in April of this year by this U.S. Saudi Business Council. More than 68% of young Saudis and 58% of the whole population self-identify as gamers. So it's a huge number. It's more than 50% of the entire population that are into esports. And
we saw Saudi Falcons also win one of the tournaments in the esports World Cup. So their own team participating in the esports World Cup, which recently concluded in August. Ronaldo was there. FIFA president Gianni Infantino was there. His Highness was there, Saudi Prince. So all of them were there. It was a very great, big, magnanimous closing ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
So that showed the world that it is happening. Saudi is opening to a lot of industries and esports is one of them.
Yeah, so they're diversifying. Yeah. Recently diversified with the entertainment industry. And now we're seeing sports in general, but this is esports. And esports, I think, maybe with the older generation is not widely accepted. But I think, you know, with initiatives like this by Saudi Arabia, it'll start to become more legitimate to the eyes of people who might not see esports as, oh, like, is it really sports?
No, a lot of people outside of Middle East, again, you said, identify as gamers. They have TikToks. They have whatnot.
Yeah.
They're on every
platform.
I know South
Korea has a huge gaming industry.
There's also one Tekken champion from Pakistan. So that shows that it's not just the Europeans and the Asian region. The countries which were never considered esports hubs, Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, all of these are coming into the fold. So it's becoming global. It's not just limited to one region like China dominating, Japan dominating. Usually we
it's
would see
now.
Yeah, it's everyone is, and Middle East is obviously following suit. They want to be the esports hub as well, and Saudi is leading the charge in the Middle East for this initiative. So it's a good thing. 13.3 billion to the country's GDP by 2030, that's a lot of money. And last year, the gaming revenues in the Middle East hit $7.2 billion. So it's already on track to reach that target. It's not like it's very far-fetched.
No, they're advancing.
So yeah, all these things. And we, in the morning, we were talking about the Esports Federation president of Saudi Arabia. He also mentioned, he hinted towards it, that they want to aim for the Olympics, the Olympics that recently concluded in Paris. So he was talking to a channel about the success of the Esports World Cup in Riyadh, and he said that the next logical step obviously is the Olympics, because they're hosting the Winter Games. They've already put in the bid for the World Cup, FIFA World Cup. So all of these things are happening. So they want the Olympics as well. They want to do everything. Under Saudi Vision 2030, there is no no industry they don't want to tap in.
I mean, it makes sense because they're trying to diversify their economy and move away from oil. So for a country, it's a smart move to put their
to try their bets
into all these different sectors and events and whatnot. Yeah.
So it's a great move by Saudi Arabia, and hopefully UAE is also following suit. It's not like UAE is not doing it. UAE has a gaming industry as well. We have a lot of gamers who've actually moved out of Europe and Americas, and they've come here and settled here because of, again, good internet, good returns on whatever they do. I don't know how they earn. Maybe it's only the tournament money. Maybe they have sponsorships as well. Usually they have sponsorships as well.
I believe many of them do stream and
stream
on Twitch, and they do make money from streaming on Twitch. So that could be a factor.
Yeah, we should go on stream and Twitch also.
Yeah, we should actually.
So yeah, that's it for today. We discussed Talabat is going public. The plan is for Q4 2024 this year, end of this year. But we'll see after they get all the approvals. UAE ranked third in crypto adoption. A lot of people in the country now own crypto assets, digital currencies. And lastly, we talked about how Saudi Arabia is getting a lot of money into their economy through esports. And we talked about a lot of stuff. If you want to hear all of that, Hind will tell you where to go.
Yes. So if you joined us on during the second half of the show, you can catch us on all these streaming platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anghami. You can also find us on all the social media channels, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, X, Facebook, all that. Thank you so much for joining us on the Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production part of the Augustus Media Podcast Network. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.